Good morning. Thank you very much for listening. We always appreciate that. Dave and Doreen, along with Marcus, the morning KLH. And it's time to welcome three-time Wisconsin sports writer, your co-host to Wilde and Tausch on ESPN here in Milwaukee, ESPN Radio. And in the great radio draft of 2007, he was our first-round pick.
Yeah, we picked him first.
Yeah, and he's still a very valuable member.
He was a steal.
Of our team. He was a steal.
He really was.
He really was. Jason Wilde, good morning. Hi, Jace. How you doing?
Yeah, I was more of like a seventh-round pick, but it worked out great, just like with Tausch, so I'm happy to still be playing. You know, if you guys were like Goody, you'd have gotten rid of me a long time ago because I'm too old now. You want, you know, it's a youth movement over there.
Yeah.
You're too old. Let's not even start with that. Okay, so speaking of Goody, I listened and I heard him a little bit in this little clip I watched. He alluded to Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson and how they did it, the draft, and what their process was. And it sounded to me like Goody still is using that same process. What is that process, by the way?
So one of my favorite things that has happened during a pre-draft press conference over the years was Ted Thompson many years ago explained to us in response to one of my questions, because I'm really interested in the process, right? And I even asked a question the other day about, you know, they were in the second round last year. They traded back twice from 45 to 48 and then 48 to 50. And they ended up taking Jaden Reed. And I was really interested in, well, what if, like, by trading back, you might not have gotten Jaden Reed. He could have gone in one of those picks in between when you were supposed to go and when you actually did. And their message was basically, yeah, that would have sucked, but we would have just taken somebody else. And I think that was really insightful into how they set up their board. And so the way Ted Thompson explained it, if you think of like the Jeopardy board, across the top, you've got the categories. Well, across the top on the Packers board, you have the positions. So quarterback, running back, blah, blah, blah. On the left side of the board, or where you would see on the Jeopardy board, 200, 400, 600, et cetera, you have the rounds, first, second, third, all the way down to seventh. And then within those rounds, they obviously have individual grades. So Dave could be a first-round pick but have a higher grade than Marcus. You know, again, I might be farther down the board.
I ran a slow 40.
You don't have to tell us that.
Yeah.
So that's how they set it up. And so then when you're in a situation like the Jaden Reed situation last year, they're sitting there getting ready to pick, and they've got six, seven guys with second-round grades, high second-round grades, all kind of lumped together. And so their philosophy is the board will tell us who we should pick. Or if we've got so many guys, we can do what they did last year, which was trade back, accumulate an extra fifth-round pick, trade back again, accumulate a sixth-round pick. And then if it's Jaden Reed, if it's someone else that they like there, they're just happy to take someone that they've got graded. So it's really crucial that they get the grading right, because if you miss on that, like they did with T.J. Watt, and they liked Kevin King far better, then you end up with the wrong player.
Well, this is the time where we think maybe he should take some offensive linemen, that he'll grab like another quarterback. Is that what happens
another
with
another quarterback?
Well, I mean, every time we say like we really need someone, a running back, or we need whatever,
he goes for something else.
Completely off the rails.
Yeah, I think it would be really funny if we drafted a wide receiver in the first round for the first time since Mike Sherman picked Javon Walker in 2002. When you feel like they've got a lot of wide receivers, I understand what you're saying. Goody said they are going to pick a quarterback. Not in the first round, not in the second or third round, but on day three at some point, because he wants to get back to another thing that Ron Wolf used to do all the time, which was take kind of late round quarterbacks and see if they could develop into good backups and then maybe trade bait for other teams. Look, just because they ended the season, you know, winning seven of their last 10 and then winning a playoff game against Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys, they are not a full roster yet. Like, they've got a lot of guys, and they've got a lot of guys they like, but they also have a lot of needs. Offensive line is one of them. It's a little weird, though, because they kind of have their starting five. Like, if they started the season today, they'd be perfectly fine with the five guys that they'd line up as starters. But I think there's a really good chance they take an offensive lineman in the first round. But I definitely think they'll take a few through the course of the draft. But they could draft a defensive lineman. They could draft a linebacker. They could draft a corner. They still have to figure out who's going to play safety next to their big free agent pickup, Xavier McKinney. So they've got plenty of needs, so they can go a variety of directions in the first round and still pick the best player available who also fits a need.
So I'm sure Matt LaFleur has enough input with Goody on who the picks will be, but how much do the offensive and defensive coordinators have on making picks based on schemes?
So they do have some measure of influence in terms of the conversation that, you know, Goody and the scouts have on what are you guys looking for with in Jeff Hafley, the new defensive coordinator's case. And he'll explain that, right? Because they are also changing their scheme. They're going from a base 3-4 system to a 4-3 system. So they've got four guys up front instead of three. And those edge rushers that we talk about with Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness, you know, they're now going to be up on the defensive line. So there are some changes there, certainly. But at the same time, I think what they basically do is, all right, here's a couple of guys we like. Here's the film on them. What do you think of them? You know, how do you feel like this guy would fit what you want to do? They don't kind of give them the entire, oh, here are every single edge rusher in the first three rounds. It's more, okay, here's a few guys that we really like. Do you like them too? And that's kind of how they go about it.
We're talking to Jason Wilde, our Green and Gold insider. And you guys have mentioned the word scheme, both you and Marcus. And I know there are coaching trees, if you will, like a coach develops a philosophy or a scheme, if you will, and all the coaches from that coaching tree kind of do it the same way. Are there general manager trees where the same sort of thing, where a GM comes up with a scheme, like a Ron Wolf or Ted Thompson, and is Goody's situation unusual in that he's kind of following in their footsteps?
It isn't. There's still two other guys that kind of come from that tree, John Schneider in Seattle and now Elliot Wolf in New England. Even though he doesn't have the GM title, he basically has all the other aspects of being the GM, except for he has to deal with Robert Kraft and his son Jonathan, who took back their franchise from Bill Belichick, which I think it's interesting that he felt you needed to take back your franchise from a guy that won you six Super Bowls and made you a ton of money. But they all kind of use the same process. I think Ron really did revolutionize really how you go about this process. And then Ted added his own little tweaks, and I'm sure that Schneider and Wolf and Goody have as well. But yeah, at its core, it's that. And remember, there was a time, you know, Reggie McKenzie was the GM in Oakland, and John Dorsey was the GM in Kansas City and Cleveland. So there were a lot of Ron Wolf, Ted Thompson disciples throughout the league. Those guys, those last two guys aren't GMs at this point, but it's a heavy influence. I'm sure there are other teams that use aspects of it as well.
So with the signing of a rookie free agent out of Georgia, Jack Pelezny, and a veteran kicker out of Minnesota named Greg Joseph, why is Anders Carlson still on this roster?
That's a good question.
It's a competition, Marcus, and I think he'll still be the kicker come opening day.
You do?
I do. Like, Goody has talked a lot about competition, and it was, in the case of Anders Carlson, it was a little bit of a lie, frankly, because he wants everybody to compete, but then Anders Carlson never had any competition. They drafted him in the sixth round last year, and they never brought another kicker in to compete with him during they cut the guy that was already here, and it was his job. And I think what they've decided is we need to have him compete just like we're making all these wide receivers compete for playing time. But, you know, Greg Joseph, Marcus, if you look at his numbers, they were no better than Anders Carlson's were last year. He kicked for the Vikings. And, you know, the kid from Georgia has never kicked in the NFL. So we'll see. But this is a legit competition, I'm told, and that it's not just, oh, We just need to bring in some guys for Anders to beat out so he can feel better about himself. But if Anders Carlson struggles and one of these guys kicks it really well, I think they would make a change. But I don't think that's the likely end game.
Okay, I have another question about Goody's press conference. Someone, maybe you, asked him about how he uses his 30 pre-draft visits, and he dropped the word subterfuge.
So, word. Yeah, that wasn't me.
So does he just bring guys in to make other teams think the Packers are interested in them? And what kind of disservice does that do to those young guys?
Yeah, so that was interesting. That was kind of where we started because, look, every team in the NFL, for those that don't know this, is allowed to bring in 30 guys before the draft for visits. Only 30. Because, you know, these guys want as much information as they can. So they would probably bring in even more if they were allowed to. I thought that was a little bit misleading because Goody's point was that there's subterfuge if you're picking higher. And when you're picking at 25, there's not a whole lot of tricks that you can play because you don't even know who's going to be left by the time you go on the clock. You have some idea, but not a great idea. And so, you know, if his comment was, if you're picking in the top 10, maybe you do that sort of thing. I totally agree with you. I don't think you should bring guys in just to try and trick the Bears into thinking you're interested in them.
Right.
I don't think there's a lot of that. I do think that there's a lot of, well, we have to get some answers on this guy. We're somewhat interested in him, but, you know, he had a surgery, and so we want our doctors to look at him. Or we didn't get to spend as much time with him at the Senior Bowl or the Combine, and we want to get a better feel for him because maybe there's a character question or whatever else. The guys that they brought in, though, out of the 30, I mean, some of the ones that have first-round grades, they are distinct possibilities for them to pick. So I don't think, as much as it was fun to say the word subterfuge time and again, I don't think that they do a lot of that in terms of bringing guys in they don't really like.
All right, Jason, thank you very much for the insights. And obviously on Monday when we check back in with you, we'll have the draft complete and you'll probably already have some stories out there about some of the new draft picks.
Yes, I will. I look forward to talking to you guys on Monday. And a year from now, I will be reporting live from the home base of the NFL draft because a year from today, it'll be at Lambeau Field and Titletown and throughout Green Bay. So
and that'll go really quick, too. That'll go really quick.
It will.
All right, Jason. Thank you.
Take care. Be good.
You too. Jason Wilde, our Green and Gold Insider, 3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. And he's co-host of Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Radio here in Milwaukee and part of the Morning KLH.